We'll discuss tonight a topic that is relevant to the whole Sefer Bereishis, the whole book of Bereishis. And it deals with the question of the Avos, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, keeping the Torah. Did they actually keep the Torah? Did they keep some of the Torah? What are some principles in helping us understand? Because Chazal, our rabbis, tell us that Avram Avinu, the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Chav Ches, that Avram Avinu kept the Torah even before it was given. He kept the whole Torah. Afigu Eruvev Tavshuin, even the mitzvah of Erev Tavshuin, which is a rabbinical, even rabbinical mitzvahs, and specifically Erev Tavshuin has to do with preparing food for guests on Yom Tov Shabbos. So Avram represents Hachnasas Archim, entertaining guests. But on one hand, we find the Avraham, the Avos, keeping the whole Torah. On the other hand, we find different things that happen that seem to show that the Avos did not keep the whole Torah. Like Yaakov marrying two wives, Yitzchak eating Nevela, and then the many different chazals. We'll go through some of them as we go through the principles. But what exactly is the principle? How do we qualify it? What mitzvahs did they keep? What didn't they keep? What is the principle at hand? So we'll discuss four different opinions in the Mefarshim, in the commentators tonight. Number one is the Tshuvas HaRama. The Rama, Ramosha Isserles, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch for the Ashkenaz. He comments on the Machaber of Yosef Cairo. So he wants to explain that it's no difficulty. The Gemara says in Yuma, as I mentioned, Avram kept the whole Torah. But it doesn't say Yitzchak and Yaakov. And therefore the Rama is of the opinion that only Avraham kept the whole Torah before it was given. Yitzchak and Yaakov did not keep the whole Torah. And all the different Medrashim you find by Yitzchak and Yaakov. So, you know, logically one perhaps could make that argument that only Abraham took it on and not Yitzchak and Yaakov, but it's difficult based on the different Chazals because, as we know, when with the famous Rashi quoting Chazal by Yaakov, Im Lavan Garti V'Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti. He says, I kept the Taryag Mitzvah. It's Yaakov. So it's difficult to say that it only applied to Avraham. That's what the Tshuvas HaRama writes, that this principle only applies to Avraham and not to Yitzhak and Yaakov. However, the next three explanations will say no, it applies to all the Avos. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And then we have to understand how come then we find certain times the Avos seem to be going against what it says in the Torah. So the second approach is the Ramban will share. The Ramban, he's bothered by, well, how is it that Yaakov married two sisters? We know there's a prohibition in the Torah to marry two sisters. So how could Yaakov marry Rachel Valeya? So the famous answer of the Ramban is that the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, only kept the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. They only volunteered the Torah in the land of Israel. But outside the land of Israel, they never accepted upon themselves the Torah. And in fact, that's how some explain, that's why Rachel died on the Derech. Rachel died on the way back before Yaakov made it back to Eretz Yisrael because he couldn't go back into Eretz Yisrael with two wives, with marrying two sisters. So therefore, that's why Rachel died. And this is Ramban seems to be consistent with his view. So Ramban seems to say Eretz Yisrael, which is the ultimate, we could have the Beis HaMikdash and everything, and that's We have many special mitzvahs we have in Eretz Yisrael. We don't have the mitzvahs atulias ba'aretz. It's a special agricultural mitzvah we have in Eretz Yisrael. We don't have in other places. The Beis HaMikdash will be there. Eretz Yisrael is the purpose for the mitzvahs, and therefore the avos only kept them in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban is famous for shita on the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah chiyuvis. It's a mandatory obligation, the Ramban writes. Everyone is obligated to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban, Maimonides, is silent on the issue, and that is a whole list of commentators from the fact, why did the Rambam omit it? Either because he didn't feel it was a mitzvah, or maybe it's a rabbinical mitzvah, or perhaps it's even a biblical mitzvah, but the Rambam counted it in other mitzvahs. Like the Avdei Nezer writes that the Rambam gives us a principle that certain times there will have more than 613 mitzvahs. But I'm only going to count one of them. So for instance, the Avdei Nezer writes, there's a mitzvah to conquer the land of Israel and throw out the seven nations. So that's a mitzvah in the Torah. So what's the mitzvah? To throw out the seven nations and move back to New York, California, Toronto? No, obviously the mitzvah is to live there. So the Avdei Nezer writes, the Rambam already counts the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. He just doesn't say it directly. He counts it. It's included in that mitzvah, because why else do you have to throw people out? So obviously it must mean to move in. So within the Rambam you have many different interpretations, but the Ramban is clear, there's a biblical obligation to live in Eretz Yisrael. He says, halacha. But even in terms of hashkafa, we find the Ramban saying, having very strong words about Eretz Yisrael. Like we have the Gemara at the end of Ksuvis, which talks about the praises of the land of Israel. So the Ramban writes, like different chazals, whoever lives in Chutz La'aretz, whoever lives outside the land of Israel, it's like you're an idol worshiper. Many strong chazals in favor of living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban writes that certainly the mitzvahs hatulias ba'aretz only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Only the mitzvahs that are dependent on the land, of course, that only applies in Eretz Yisrael. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe was mitzvah, Moshe had difficulty, he wanted to be able to fulfill the mitzvahs hatulias ba'aretz. The mitzvahs are dependent on living in the land of Israel, and therefore you wanted to go in. But so certainly, those mitzvahs only apply in Israel. But the Ramban seems to say, even tefillin and mezuzahs, even the chovas haguf, even all those mitzvahs, the whole purpose is to do them in the land of Israel. And the reason why we do it in Chutz La'aretz, the reason why we do it outside the land of Israel, because we're going to be in Golas, we're going to be outside the land of Israel for a long time. So not to forget how to do the mitzvahs properly, so therefore we do it in Chutz La'aretz. But the main purpose of all the mitzvahs is to do them in Eretz Yisrael. Contrary to certain sects that basically said that now that we're in Eretz Yisrael, we don't have to keep the mitzvahs anymore. Because now the mitzvah is to work the land, to do other things. Who has to keep mitzvahs? The purpose of keeping mitzvahs, you need to do it in Chutz La'aretz, so you don't intermarry, you don't assimilate. The opposite of what the Ramban says. The Ramban says the purpose of the mitzvahs is to fulfill in Eretz Yisrael. So others, the Vilna Gaon, can't believe this Ramban in terms of, like, how could it be? Is it possible that the purpose of tefillin and mezuzahs are only in Eretz Yisrael? It's a mitzvah that applies all wherever you live. In fact, it bothered the Vilna Gaon so much, he felt it was a mistake because it said Tuf Vav Mem. So he says the author wrote tefillin u'mezuzahs, but he should have written trumas u'maisris, which are agricultural mitzvahs. And the Rav discussed this. The Rav also wasn't crazy about this Ramban either. Rav Kook, Rav Shekto, like saying over there, Rav Kook made a big deal out of this Ramban, and Rav Soloveitchik didn't wasn't crazy about it. He seemed to go with the Vilna Gaon. He basically couldn't believe that that the mitzvahs of Tulum and Mezuzahs are limited to... We don't pass them like this, Ramban. But it seems to be that's what the Ramban says, because Rashi quotes this Ramban, so even though the Vilna Gaon says it's a mistake, but whatever it is, we don't paskin like it, but the concept the Ramban has, the Ramban says. So it fits into what the Ramban is saying here. If the Ramban holds the whole purpose of all the mitzvahs is to keep them in Eretz Yisrael, so the others knew that. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov knew that, and therefore, when they intuited it, when they, the Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, so they only accepted it to keep the mitzvahs in the land of Israel. But in Chutz La'aretz, they didn't. That's why, that's how the Ramban explains, when we find the Avos violating the Torah, it must be they were in Chutz La'aretz. Because in Eretz Yisrael, that's where they accepted, and that's how he explains Yaakov marrying two sisters. So that's the explanation of the Ramban. So we have the truest Harama, that only Avram kept the Torah, and not Yitzchak and Yaakov. We have the Ramban, this is no. All the Avos kept it, but they only kept it in the land of Israel and not outside the land of Israel. The third answer is from Rav Chaim Volozhin, the Nefesh HaChaim, the Orach Chaim HaKodesh, and others. They want to point that as follows, that even though the Avos kept Kol HaTorah Kulo, which they did, however, as we know, it was B'Torah's Eino Mitzuva Va'osa. It was voluntary. Even when they kept the commandment, it wasn't because they had to do them. Perhaps we'll see they had to do the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, the six mitzvahs that were given to Adam, and then the seventh mitzvah, in words, Eiver Menachai, which is given to Noach because that's when animals became permitted, and it's called Noach because there's always Hashem Sofo. Since Noach finished them, they're called the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, but really, strictly speaking, six were given to Adam. Now, and the seven are, by the way, the seven universal laws. I remember by the big three, the three things one has to give up their life for: not to commit adultery, not to worship idols, not to murder someone. If someone puts a gun to you and says, either murder someone or I'll kill you, you have to be willing to die. And then Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Eiver, Menachai, for Aleph, tearing a limb off a live animal, Beis, a euphemism, Birkas Hashem, blessing God, which means you can't curse God, Gezel, stealing, kidnapping, and Dalet Dinim, setting up a court system. So, really, so we know the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, the Avos, minimally were obligated in keeping. But the other mitzvahs, they did it voluntarily, like we have a concept of Mitzvahs Asei Shazman Groma, a time-oriented mitzvah, like the Mishnah tells us in Kedushin. Women are exempt from time-oriented commandments. However, in most cases, there's a question about a woman volunteering, putting on a talus, a tefillin. Those are more problematic or questionable, but in terms of sitting in a sukkah, hearing the shofar, shaking the lulav, those are praiseworthy. And even for B'nai Ashkenaz, they even can make a blessing on it. Even though they're exempt, it's praiseworthy to volunteer, even with a bracha. So we have this concept in general, you can do things when you're not commanded. However, we know, Godo ha-metzuva v'yosem m'sheinu m'tzuva. You know, greater is the one who is commanded, the one who is not, as the Gemara says, because it's much harder to do something when you have to do it. That's how they explain why Avraham waited to be commanded on the Bris Milah, because you only could do the Mitzvah Milah once, so he wanted to get a greater reward after he was obligated. But the other mitzvahs, he could put on tefillin today, tomorrow, the next day, you could shake lulav this sukkah, next sukkah. Other mitzvahs you could do all the time, so by doing it doesn't interfere when you become obligated, or if you become obligated. But Milah is a one-time shot. So we see, besides the fact that it's a greater reward because it's harder to do, but there's also less flexibility. Someone who could just volunteer, a woman who's exempt from sitting in the sukkah, It's up to her. It's recommended and it's praiseworthy she does, but if she doesn't, it's her option. So therefore, if she has other things to do where she can't make it, so then she doesn't have to eat in the sukkah. She's exempt from the sukkah, even eating bread. However, a man doesn't have that luxury. The man is obligated, so besides it being more difficult to do because you're commanded, no one likes to be told what to do. In addition, you don't have flexibility. Obviously, I have to do this mitzvah. God said it. I can't stop making, obviously, if you have a question, you speak to a posek, and, then maybe there are ways out to circumvent it. But it's a general rule. You have a mitzvah to do, you have to do it. And therefore, you have less flexibility if I'm commanded in something than if I volunteer. If it's your day off and you feel like coming in, so you can do what you want. If you're working today, you have less flexibility. You have to do your job. So the Nefesh HaChayim, Rav Chaim Elojen, explains that the Avos kept the Torah as an Eidu Metzuvah, someone who wasn't commanded. In fact, that's why we have this concept of Aveira L'Shema, a very difficult concept, that sometimes you can do an Aveira, a sin, for the sake of the cause, and they end up, it's going to cause more good than harm. So that's certainly applied before the Torah was given, and it's a much bigger issue after the Torah was given. That's a discussion how we apply it. But before the Torah, you have more flexibility because the Torah wasn't given yet, so obviously you had the concept of Aveira L'Shma. So the Chayav Lajan explains that the Avos figured out through divine inspiration all the mitzvahs and all the. And when you do a mitzvah, it has a tremendous impact in heaven. And the Chassidish Svarim, they point out, you create angels, so to speak. When you do good deeds, good angels; bad deeds, bad angels. But it has an effect in Shamayim. So he says, by the Avos, they had the flexibility. They realized that ultimately they don't have to do it, but they're doing it because, through divine inspiration, to realize the right thing to do. So 95% of the cases, they know they just followed what the Torah said. But in 5% of the cases, 7%, 10%, whatever the percent is, they realize that in heaven, in this scenario, I'm better off not doing the mitzvah. Like Yaakov realized that he had to marry these two wives. If it was Achama and Torah, if the Torah was given and the Torah said you can't marry two sisters, he can think all he wants, he can't do it. That's the halacha. However, Kodem and Torah, before the Torah was given, so it was just he only volunteered it, and it was Ruach HaKodesh, so he saw Ruach HaKodesh that it was better off, the result would be greater, in this case, to marry two sisters than not. So that's how, and in fact, that's how the Bris Gerav explains in Parashas Toldos. He explains, but we know the difficult pregnancy that Rivka had. And she says, Lama zeh anochi, who needs this? As Rashi writes, what do I need to all this pain of childbirth and everything? So the Bris Gerav is a different pshat based on what we're saying today. But based on this Rav Chaim Elojen and Or HaChaim, that he quotes the Gemara in Brachas, which tells us a famous story between Yishaya HaNavi and Chizkiyo HaMelech. So Chizkiyo HaMelech was on his deathbed. So Yishaya came to visit him. He said, you're not going to live in this world, in the next world. He said, why, what did I do wrong? So Yishaya HaNavi said to him, you didn't fulfill your mitzvah, pruvu, of being fruitful and multiplying and having children. He says, I'll tell you why. I have a good reason why I didn't. Because I saw through divine inspiration that I'm going to have wicked children. Wicked descendants are coming out of me. And therefore I realized it was better not to have kids. So Yishai Navi said, Bahadi, quoting the Gemara, that the secrets of the world leave to God. That's none of your concern. God commanded you in the midst of having kids. It's not for you to start making accounts and should I. You have an obligation to have them. Let God take care of the problem. So he said, you're going to die because of this. So he said, was there any... So give me your daughter, he says, Yeshua, that maybe now my merit and her merit will be able to be saved. And he said, it's too late. You can't be saved. And Chizkiyo said, no, of course I can be saved. We have a tradition. Even if the knife is on your throat, the knife is in your heart, but call... As long as you're alive, there's always hope for tshuva. So either way, so as the story goes on, but the point being is, Yeshaya HaNavi rebuked Chizkiyo HaMelech for not having kids, even though Chizkiyo realized he's going to have wicked kids. So the Brisker Rav points out, and others, that the logic of Chizkiyo HaMelech was there. What he said was very logical. Why should I bring in wicked kids into the world? What's not so... What was the problem? Is you're commanded. So it's not your job to start making cheshbonos whether you should or shouldn't. However, if I'm not commanded, then I can't make cheshbonos. So that's the pshat. Rivka, lama zeh anochi, the Mishnah tells us in Yevamos, and we, the way we paskin, a woman is exempt from the mitzvah pru revu. As ironic as it sounds, she's the one having the child. That's a separate shir on why a woman is exempt from the mitzvah pru revu, because of the pain of childbirth, etc. We can check out the Mesha Chachma another time when we spoke about it before. But a woman, whatever the issues are, a woman is exempt. Pru revu v'kivshuha. The pasuk says, and you shall conquer the world, that's men. The men fight in the army, and therefore they learn out the purpose is to populate the world, and therefore women are exempt. So that's what Rivka is saying. Lama ze anochi, v'yitzrozu abanim b'kirbay. No, I found out there's going to be an Esav and a Yaakov. Lama ze anochi, I don't need this. If I'm having Esav, I don't want him. Maybe I shouldn't have the kids. And we see even though she was having a Yaakov, and similarly with Yeshaya HaNavi, so it's in with Chiyo HaMelech. He used to have good descendants also, but he figured the bad descendants outweigh them. And that's what Rivka is saying, Lama zeh anochi, who needs this? I'm having a schizophrenic? And the answer is, no, Shnei Goyim Avitnak, don't worry, it's two different kids. Don't worry, it's Esav who's trying to jump out to the house of idol worship, and it's Jacob jumping out to the yeshiva to learn. So they point out, That's the cheshbon. Lama zeh anochi? I'm not obligated in pru revu. So therefore, I have a right to make cheshbon. It's lama zeh anochi. But that's what the Rav Chaim Elushin explains and others, that's how many cases, let's say in the case of how could Yaakov marry two sisters, or in other areas, they look at the big picture. They have a right to look at the big picture. We always look at the big picture. But they have a right to look at the big picture and decide whether they should keep this mitzvah or not, since they're only volunteering it. But if we were obligated in the commandments, you can't. So that's how they explain, that's how Yaakov married two wives and other things, because they saw in heaven, in those specific cases, better to violate the Aveira, the sin, than to keep it, but it's a greater gain than loss. So that's how, that's the Or HaChaim and Nefesh HaChaim. A fourth explanation is the Maharal Miprag. The Maharal Miprag, he suggests another distinction. We know we have different distinctions and commandments. We have commandments ben Adam l'makom, commandments ben Adam l'chaveiro. We have commandments between man and God and man and man. It's one. And other distinctions we have, mitzvahs asay and mitzvahs los asay. Positive commandment and negative. 248 positive, 365 negative. So the Maharal wants to suggest that maybe the avos only kept the mitzvahs asay, the positive commandments, but they did not keep the negative commandments. In other words, we know we have a principle, as the Ramban writes in Parshas Yisro, we know we have a principle in the Gemara, asay docha los asay. A positive mitzvah sometimes supersedes a negative commandment. So for instance, that you're allowed to put wool and linen on the tzitzis because you wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis, or on the big day kahuna. or on the priest's garment. So what's the logic? Why do we say asay, a positive commandment is greater than a negative commandment? So they point out because asay signifies ava, love, and alos asay signifies fear of God. And we know gadol ava. Ava is a greater level than yira. Serving God out of love is a much higher level than serving God out of fear. That's how the Arizal, some say Pshat, Yom Kippur, Kippurim. Yom Kippur is like Purim. In other words, Purim is greater because Purim is the day of Ava. While Yom Kippur is the day of Yira, you're in Shul all day saying Alchei and asking for forgiveness. So we see Asay have inherent value. You're showing your love, and the mitzvahs themselves are inherently value, but not fulfilling a negative commandment shows you fear of God. But that only makes sense when you're commanded. I'm only refraining from eating at McDonald's because the Torah says I can't eat non-kosher. But if there was no prohibition of non-kosher, if I'm refraining from eating from certain food, like there's no, I'm not showing any fear of God. I'm not showing any. It doesn't reflect anything. And doing something actively shows my love for God, its inherent value, but refraining from something which I don't have to do anyway, that doesn't show anything. So that's what the Maharal writes. The Avos always took on the positive commandments, not the negative commandments. And therefore they point out, and that's why he explains in different mitzvahs, that when we find the Avos violating, we find them violating negative commandments, not positive. I say an example. There's an interesting Shtichel Torah I saw by, it wants to know how Yitzchak could eat from the Shechita, the slaughtering of Esav. It was a Nevela, but Esav was a Mummer anyway, and the different halakhic issues with Esav's slaughtering. So how could Yitzchak eat the food? So they talk about the concept of a Summa, someone who's blind, whether he's obligated in mitzvahs or not. So it's different, and we assume basically with mitzvahs that don't have to do with sight, that basically a blind person is obligated. But the discussion in the Gemara, whether a Summa is exempt. So one opinion is a Summa is exempt from mitzvahs. Some say he's exempt from everything, positive and negative. But others say, what do you mean? Then he's like a guy, that he's like a Gentile. He's not going to keep any mitzvahs. Others say, no, he's only exempt from the mitzvahs asay, from the positive commandments, but not the negative. So that's how some want to point out. How could Yitzchak eat from the Shechita? Didn't he violate the negative commandment of the Vela? The answer is no. As Maharami Prag says, they didn't take on negative commandments. So there's no problem in the Vela. But there's a mitzvahs asay of Shechita. There's a deposit of mitzvah zavachta ve'achalta to do a shechita before you eat. So in that, Chazal would tell you, since Yitzchak was a Summa, and working with the opinion of someone who is blind, is patur mitzvah asay, so he's exempt from negative commandments, like the Maharal said, they never kept negative. But they kept positive. But since he was a Summa, so therefore working with the opinion that Summa is exempt from positive commandments. So to summarize, we have four different opinions in terms of four different schools of thought, in terms of our discussion whether the Avos kept the Torah or not, how much did they keep? Did they keep it all, some of it? What are some guiding principles we could use when we learn through the book of Bereishis? So we gave four explanations. Number one, the Tshuvas HaRamah, that only Avram kept the Torah, but not Yitzchak and Yaakov. Logically, perhaps one can make an argument. We said, but it seems to go against the Chazals, which seems to say everyone did. That was the Tshuvas Ramah. That was the difficulty with it, because the Chazals seemed to go against it. Tarjag Mitzvah Shamarti. Then we gave three explanations, working with all the Avos kept it. But they all had their own limitations. The Ramban's limitation was, they only kept the Torah in the land of Israel, not in Chutz Laaretz. That's how Yaakov married two sisters. Yeah, the Orachayim HaKodesh and the Nefesh HaChayim, that they kept all the mitzvahs, his volunteer work, so when they saw in Shamayim that in this specific case it's better to violate it, like the two sisters, they realized the 12 tribes are coming out, so therefore in this scenario they said it's better, like Loma Zeh Anochi, if you're not commanded, then you have more flexibility. And you have the fourth explanation, the Maral Miprag, that the others only kept the positive commandments they volunteered, but they did not volunteer the negative commandments.